Begin. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was of small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So far our text. Have you ever lost something that was very important to you? Perhaps something that had an emotional importance. Heirloom or a gift. Maybe something that was important because you really needed it. You know, you're heading out the door in the morning, trying to go to school, trying to go to work. You can't find your keys. You can't find your wallet. You can't find your phone. And it gets so frustrating because you really need those things. And you're looking everywhere. You're tearing off the couch cushions. Looking in the pockets of all of your clothes. Can't find it. Finally, when you do, oh, the sweet relief. The joy that you have when you find it. That is very nearly exactly what we have happening in our text, except on a much greater and more important scale. Jesus had lost something. A person that he cared for deeply. Jesus says in verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus, of course, is talking about himself when he calls himself the Son of Man. That's a messianic term. It refers to his mission to come down, true God and true man, to take man's place and to redeem him. And he was seeking the lost. Well, it's pretty obvious who the lost one is in this story. It's Zacchaeus. And if we take all the things that we know about Zacchaeus, put them together, we find out just how lost he was. First of all, he was, although a Jew, because his name is Jewish, a tax collector. Terrible, right? Well, the Jewish people hated it when other Jewish people became tax collectors for two reasons. First of all, they saw it as a betrayal of their people because the tax collectors worked for the Roman government and they hated the Roman government. So, that guy got the boot. Nobody would want to talk to him. Secondly, there's a stereotype attached to tax collectors that they would steal and cheat. So, if he came to your door and said, "You owe the Roman government $10, he actually only owed $5, and he'd keep the rest, but there's nothing you could do about it. So they viewed tax collectors as traitors to their nation and as sinners. That's why they say, "He has gone to the house of a man who is a sinner." And when they say sinner, they mean somebody who is out of the church, not worth their time, condemned and damned. That's the way they viewed Zacchaeus. And not only was Zacchaeus viewed that way by his fellow Jewish people, he was viewed that way by Jesus. Jesus says that he was lost. And we know that he was a great sinner because Zacchaeus admits that in his case, this stereotype was true. He confesses that he had been stealing from people, and likely it was part of the reason why he was so wealthy. And that's the last piece of the puzzle, just how lost Zacchaeus was. Our text makes him very specific point of saying that he was rich. And just one chapter earlier, a man had come to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now the man had the wrong idea, so Jesus thought he would preach the law to him to try to show him where he was wrong. He said, "Keep the commandments." The man said, "I have done that my whole life." So Jesus pushed him further. He said, "Go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor." And the man couldn't do it. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to his disciples how difficult it is for a rich man to enter life. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's like a little slit on a sewing needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. With man, this is impossible. And then here's Zacchaeus, condemned by his people, condemned by God, lost, rich, impossible for man. You know, a lot of people want to think here that Zacchaeus is coming to Jesus. He's coming to find Jesus. A lot of people want to think that Christians made a decision to believe. Zacchaeus was not looking for Jesus spiritually. The text says, wanted to see who he was. But when Jesus came to that tree, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus came to that tree on purpose. He looked up on purpose. He called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I have to go to your house today." Now, I've got to go to your house. I've just got to stay there because you've got the best beds, best meal, the best amenities in town. No. Jesus had to save Zacchaeus' house because he had to bring him the message of salvation. He was seeking the lost. Just like the parable that Jesus had told about the shepherd who goes to seek the lost sheep. Jesus would not stop until he found him. He went to his house. He spent the night there. He spoke to him. He taught him. And in the morning, we know that Zacchaeus has come to faith. He professes that faith through an admission of guilt and a desire to make restitution for his sins, and by showing the kind of compassion and love for other people that Jesus himself had. That's why Jesus says, "This man also is a son of Abraham." A son of Abraham by faith. That means he had the same faith that Abraham had. Today, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Not because Zacchaeus went and found Jesus, but because Jesus found him. And because Jesus saved him. We often talk about salvation in two different terms. We say objective justification and subjective justification. And objective justification, I'm sure you remember, is that God declared the world not guilty when Jesus died on the cross. He wiped away the sins of all people. Subjective justification is when the Holy Spirit causes you to believe, hey, Jesus died for the sins of the world, so he died for me. He was for me on that cross. And we have both in our text. Because it is only through objective justification that Jesus was able to come to Zacchaeus. If it were not for the fact that God had redeemed the world, or that he would redeem the world in Christ, something that was as good as finished in his sight, Jesus would never have come to Zacchaeus, a sinner. He would never have gone to his house, eaten with him, and spoke with him. He would not have sought him, but he did. He brought him that message so that Zacchaeus made it his own. And if Zacchaeus, at any point the rest of his life, ever wondered, ever doubted, you know, does God really love me? Am I really saved? Am I sins really forgiven? All he had to do was think back to that day when Jesus came to him. Because if Jesus had not had forgiven his sins and died for his sins on the cross, he would never have come. And it's the same for you and me. We are just like Zacchaeus by nature. Lost, condemned creatures, cannot come to God, but he came to us. He sought us, found us, and continues to come to us every day. And that's where our confidence lies. Not in any decision we made, not in any feelings of ourselves, but when we doubt, when we worry, all we need to do is remember, Jesus came to me in baptism. He made me his child. He would not have done that if he had not forgiven my sins. Jesus sent me his word to tell me about what he did, and he would not have done that if it was not for me. Think back to the last time you had the Lord's Supper. You ate the body and blood of the Lord. Jesus came to you. He would not have done that if he had not paid for your sins. This is what Jesus does. He seeks and saves the lost, like Zacchaeus, and like you, and like me. He does all the work, and he gets all the glory. Amen. We'll sing of that in hymn 776, the first two stanzas.